Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, even if it's a little bit early. It is Cabali and Mac without Cabali, apparently, who I don't know where the hell he went. I started the show and now he's disappeared somehow. What the hell?
Welcome. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't see you.
Said, as soon as we went on, it said your connection has been lost. Hey, there I am.
Perfect. There he is.
It's like when the power went out.
I handled it a little bit better than you handled it when I disappeared. I'll just say
it was 4 seconds, not 40 minutes.
True. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome into episode number 68, a.k.a. Alan Faneca, of Cabali and Mac, presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next home. Real simple. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they're looking to help you out, and it's a great time to do so right now. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting for you, whether you're looking to sell a home, upgrade, downsize, whatever it may be, different neighborhood, doesn't matter. You want to try to move into Kaboom's neighborhood, my neighborhood even. There's homes for sale all over the area, and whether you're the one selling it and it hasn't gotten done, or you're the one looking to buy, the Dan Heck Team is here to get it done for you. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. Follow us on all the social media, X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and, of course, on YouTube at Cabali and Mac. Almost at 1,800 subscribers as we speak this Friday morning, June 20th. When we get to 2,500, somebody's going to win an autographed Paul Skeens baseball. And this is one thing I can confidently say, Kaboom. He's veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali, correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, writer for WWE.com. I'm just a dude in his basement, Chris Mack. One thing I can confidently say is we will not autograph this Paul Skeens baseball. I have to congratulate or thank, or I don't know how to put it, Jason from Florida, who the Tampa Bay area, who is a lifelong Steelers fan, who won the Pat Freiermuth helmet, insisted that we sign the Freiermuth helmet before we ship it off to him. So we did that the other day. We both felt weird about it. Yeah. Kaboom sat there for about 5 minutes wondering if he remembered how to sign his name, but we both did it. We signed the other side of the Freiermuth Penn State helmet. So it doesn't necessarily sit right next to Pat's autograph on the helmet. It's on the other side, so Jason can hide it if he wants. But it was a weird moment for both of us where we were basically being asked to deface valuable property.
Yeah, I mean, I sat there on my porch for a minute. I'm like, how am I going to do this? I mean, first of all, you don't get a second chance, right?
No, you can't screw it up. Don't smudge it. Don't screw it up. Don't whatever.
And when you go, you know, when you go now and they like sign the pad when you're wherever getting a prescription, whatever.
Yeah.
I literally just make a line now. I can't write with that thing. Speaking of autographed baseballs, look what I just found.
What? Is this another Little League award of yours? Pony League? What? I can't see what that is.
There's none other than, there it is, an autographed Jack Clark baseball.
Jack Clark, Cardinals legend. Jack Clark was one of the few Cardinals in the mid to late 80s who I didn't hate. I hated a lot of the Cardinals because the Pirates were in the same division as them back in the day.
Those 85, 86, 87 Cardinals, especially the 87 Cardinals, were just loaded, man. Loaded. Yeah. With Coleman, Tommy Herr, Terry Pendleton, Jack Smith, Willie McGee, Tony Pena, go on and on and on. Loaded. Joaquin Andujar, John Tudor. John Tudor might have been gone by then. He was 85.
Utility man Jose Oquendo. How about that? I have a weird thing where there's a couple lineups from the late 80s that I can still, I think, name all nine starting players from the line. Like the 87 Bash Brothers Oakland A's. Pretty sure I can still go around the horn. Terry Steinbach, Carney Lansford, Walt Weiss, Mike Gallego, Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, Dave Henderson, and who was in center? Junior Felix more often than not.
Terry Steinbach?
Yep.
You know, in the Steelers locker room the other day, the great Nick Faribault was wearing an old school Blue Jays hat. And Nick's like 14.
Yeah.
So I said, you can't even name a team, a player on that team. So we're in a locker room. You know, there's about four people there trying to go over the 1985, 86, 87 Blue Jays.
George Bell.
Lloyd Mosby.
Yep.
Kelly Gruber. Tony Fernandez.
Dave Stein.
Those are old. Cito Gaston was the manager.
Yeah, it's weird how stuff sticks in your head from when you were a kid. But the mid to late 80s Cardinals are one of those teams. Where'd you get an autographed Jack Clark baseball, by the way?
This was back when the baseball card industry just started like booming, I bet. Like, it came back in the late 80s, maybe.
Yeah.
You mean, it really hit hard. And I go to many, many, many card shows, and there must have been a Jack Clark there. I'm sure I didn't pay more than $3 for it.
That's how I became a baseball fan and a sports fan in general. When I was five or six, my mom for Christmas got me an entire Topps set, and I just sat there and went through every card and memorized every guy on every team. And that's how I ended up becoming a fan of baseball and then sports in general. Like I said, was cards. It's all those names are still stuck somewhere way, way back in the back of my head. If you got questions for us stuck in the back of your head that you'd like to spit out today, we're doing a mailbag edition of the show. I'll be honest. There's not a lot of news to break. There's one ridiculous Steelers rumor. Is it ridiculous? I think it is, but we can touch on that quickly. And of course, game six of the NBA finals was last night. I want to get into that in just a second, but if you have a question,
this is mid-June,
podcast, mid to late June style show. This is the way it might go. Although we are cooking on a few guests that hopefully work out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, we're not gonna even go there.
Nope. It is
undersell, over deliver, right?
Yes, but I will say this: you know, you are reaching to get in touch with someone when you are texting your kid's former fifth grade teacher, fourth grade teacher, because they happen to be friends with someone and you're seeing if they can get you info on how to get in touch with someone to get them on the show. But that's, or you're repeatedly jumping into someone's DMs on social media and they're like, yeah, I'd love to do the show. And then you don't hear from them again for like 3 weeks. That's, people don't care, but those are the pains of trying to get folks to come on this time of year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's just the way it is.
Yep. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, the next couple weeks.
That's the under-promise.
The dead time in the NFL. I mean, there is 4 weeks where nothing happens or very little to nothing. Everybody leaves. Everybody's in Bermuda.
Yeah.
One player from the Steelers is in New Jersey right now.
I saw Mason posted a picture the other day from a beach somewhere.
Coaching staff, they get away right after the 4th of July holiday. They start
trickling back in,
revving things up a little bit. So they're all out, man. So there's not going to be much news. That's why I always say, You're not going to hear much about TJ because they're just all out there relaxing. I'm quite sure that the Sean Elliott stuff was almost in place before they even left, you know. So that's, you know, it was a day or two after. I'm sure the majority of that was already in place before they went on their break.
Yeah, we'll fill our days with, taking care of our lawn, maybe. You're tired of taking care of your lawn. You want it to be beautiful and you want it to be usable year-round. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. They can do for you some unbelievable stuff, even if you're just a golfing fanatic, like our one friend of the show, Phil, who would love to have maybe like a little putting surface in the backyard. Maybe you want to do the whole yard. Anything's a possibility with Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. They'll lay down a beautiful artificial surface that you can use year round. Like I said, no maintenance. It's great for the kids and the pets because, like I said, they can use it any time of year. You're not spraying stuff on it to keep the weeds away. You're not out there weed whacking and trimming. All the maintenance and care. You don't have to water it. Everything that goes into taking care of your lawn, forget about it. Get it done once and for all with Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com right now. We appreciate them being a sponsor of Cabali and Matt. One thing that is not in a dead period, the NBA Finals and the Pacers absolutely demolished. We'll get into your questions in a second. Keep dropping them in the YouTube comments here. But absolutely demolished OKC in Game 6 in Indy last night. And one man who is an absolute legend made his way onto the post-game set on NBA TV to talk about it.
You need between you and your dad to yell at him for not being taller or not marrying somebody that was taller.
I mean, I know he's standing right there, but
my man, come on in here. Come on in here, Pops. Unbelievable.
Tim McConnell, TJ's dad.
He didn't waste any time.
It's unbelievable.
Good to see you, man.
Unreal. Finds a way to get in there.
Yeah.
Just watch TJ's face this entire time.
I'm going to tell you right now, he's a warrior. You're right. It doesn't matter how tall you are.
That's right. That's your fault.
The heart of a champion.
Yes,
no
yes.
Question. What do you think of his performance tonight?
Excellent. Just disappointing, missed two foul shots in the beginning. I kept saying, man, I wish he'd have made those two foul shots, but he recovered and we won the game. So I can forget about the foul shots. Anything can happen in game 7.
Always.
We're going to OKC to try to win a world championship, and my son's a part of it, and I can't believe that.
Pops, I got one question for you.
This is good.
Why were you harder on him and softer on your daughter?
He says that.
It's
but
true.
It's true.
My
daughter was an undefeated state championship. He lost in the state championship. We lost two games. So undefeated. He didn't play as well in the state championship. He played great, but we didn't win it.
It's unbelievable.
The truth hurts.
Gotta love it.
The truth hurts. Gotta love it, TJ. Got to love it.
Truth hurts. Now she's with the Mercury, so hey. I can't be more proud to say I have a son in the NBA and I have a daughter in the WNBA. This is a dream come true, and I'm going to OKC for my son to play in the championship game
to
win
this.
The world championship.
25 years from
yes.
Does your dad have an agent?
I love this guy growing up.
No, he doesn't need an agent.
I would love to represent him.
I'm sure he would love that.
TJ, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for lending us your dad.
That is Western PA Sports Hall of Famer Tim McConnell, of course. Captain of the 82 Seton LaSalle Rebels Whippeal Championship and state champion, Whippeal Championship team and state championship runners up. The fastest coach in Whippeal history to 500 wins, 16 section championships, 6 Whippeal title teams, and obviously loves Meg more than TJ, apparently.
Only thing I got there is I couldn't be more proud.
Oh my God. That man is an absolute legend.
Yes, I mean, I've run across Tim from time to time. I mean, when I covered high school a lot, our teams didn't seem to cross over very much when it was Triple A. A lot of our Triple A teams never really saw them. So, but obviously, the McConnell family in this area is up there with royalty, right? I mean, yeah. To be honest, with basketball royalty. But, I mean, I know TJ was a little embarrassed, it looked like, but my goodness, what an absolute – he's going to look back on this in 5-10 years and say this. I mean, this is a story for the ages for the McConnell family right there, yeah. What you just saw.
It's amazing. But this is part of the reason I think so many Yinzers, not just the Pat McAfee effect, that's definitely part of it, but like so many Yinzers are rooting for the Pacers to finish off this comeback and win in game seven on Sunday night, because TJ's a Pittsburgh guy. You got Tim jumping on the set. And like he said, the whole family and just the tradition of hoops in Western PA, you can't mention it without mentioning the McConnells, but to jump on set and just dap up Isaiah, start dropping bombs on his kid for missing two free throws. I mean, classic Western PA sports dad.
He didn't need much prodding to get up on that set either. It was like, what, me? Okay, see ya.
Boom. Yeah, sure. Okay. Let me tell you about this.
I am here. Char Valley. Here's some legends in Char Valley, right?
Yeah. I mean, in the way you dropped
McConnell's, you got the Christian Kuntzes.
Yeah.
I forget who else.
I couldn't be more proud.
Proud. I mean,
a beautiful PRAHD.
You know, another thing is the underdog aspect of the Pacers. I mean, we're in Pittsburgh, we get drawn to that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, most of it is probably TJ, but the underdog is not there. And he needs to talk about my NBA minute. What did I tweet yesterday morning? Don't count out the Pacers, man. Yeah. I'm here. No way. This is game six. Man, they've been counting this team out since freaking January 1, and they just find a way. That doesn't mean they're going to go to OK State and OK City. OK State's
just say OKC.
OK State is
Jordy Mercer land, Mason Rudolph land.
It doesn't mean they're going to go there not and win it all, but you can't count them out. I mean, Halliburton, man. Whew. When you have calf injuries, you know what's attached to the calf. Knock on wood.
Don't mention it.
I mean, you gotta. But what do you do in that situation? Do you, if there's a, I'm just throwing a number out there, 15% chance you can get seriously injured or play in game six of the NBA finals?
You play. You have to. It's an elimination game. Yeah. I mean, and I heard a number this morning. They are something like plus 42 in this series when McConnell and Halliburton are on the floor together. That, I mean, we said it the other day, like you said, in the NBA minute, though, if Halliburton is less than 100%, I think you got to have TJ out there as much as possible, because it limits that injury, limits Halliburton's ability to move around as much as he does, and McConnell can be that guy and set up Kyrie's for some of those three balls.
Did you see that stat? StatMuse put that stat out about McConnell?
No.
First player in NBA Finals history with 60-plus points, 25-plus assists, and 15-plus rebounds.
He's getting boards. He's crashing the glass in front of Isaiah Hartenstein, who's like a foot taller than him, and coming up with boards. I mean, it. Heart of a champion. Couldn't be more proud. So, yes, sirs, let's go into Game 7 on Sunday night and watch Indiana pull off the upset. I think I saw it's like a 7.5-point spread, something like that. Yeah, I didn't think it'd be that big.
That's about right. I mean, did you see the record of OK City?
There you go.
Coming off a loss this year, like 18-2, something crazy.
Yeah, they don't. How the Pacers had gone like 2 months without losing back-to-back games, that's been the Thunder all year long. There's a reason SGA is the MVP. There's a reason they had the best record in the league.
When's the last time Paul Skeens won a game?
Oh my God. Can we not? I don't even want it.
I mean, he had it there for him to take him. Man, we score four runs. Once again, what was my MLB minute the other day? I absolutely hate extra innings. One way or the other. I don't care. I hate them.
Well, the Pirates would have won that game even under the old rules, I think.
I could have, but I just hate those rules.
You gonna be able to get over it? You gonna be able to move past
it? I like it. I think it's goofy.
Speaking of that, shouldn't you be going to Steubenville,
the Berber of the Berg.
Yeah, I'm headed to Weirton today, Steubenville tomorrow for softball. That's why we're doing the show early. Got to leave the hospital at 10 o'clock.
The kid got the call up to the 10U team on Wednesday. Got rained out.
Ah.
And he got the call up today. Big Manessa game, 6 o'clock.
Is that a rivalry?
Playing with 10-year-olds, this is going to get ugly, but
it's going to get ugly. I appreciate your belief in the kids.
I mean, you're an 8-year-old playing with kids 2.5 years older than you. It's not good.
Well, he's also as big as them. It's not like he's built like an 8-year-old.
Well, a lot of things are, you know, 8 and 10 year olds.
Yeah.
You know, plus he's never had kid pitch before. So we'll see.
You going to force him to become a left tackle someday?
They would put him. They would keep telling me, "Hey, sign him up for football." I'm like, "I'm not signing him up for football right now because you're going to put him at left tackle, and how fun is that for an 8-year-old?
It's not. I mean,
he can do that when he's 12 or 13 if he wants to play tackle.
But if he's going to be able.
He doesn't need to play tackle for an eight and 9 year olds, right?
Hey, somebody's got to.
I know that's what they have problems finding.
Think how much fun he'd have getting downfield on a counter. And just mushing little kids into the turf.
He's a little passive. I'm trying to get him to do wrestling this offseason, toughen him up a little bit.
There you go.
But he's only 8.
Yeah, give him time. He'll get there. Thanks for our
Life's Beyond This. Oh, my goodness.
Get your questions into the comments on YouTube. We'll get to the mailbag portion of the show in just a second. We got to thank our friends at Nail Studio 2 out in McMurray, Peters Township, just past Donaldson's Crossroads. Go to Nail Studio 2. It's a Roman numeral 2. So nailstudioii.com. You can book your appointment online. Look, it's beach season. It's wedding season. There's somebody in your life, graduation gift. You want to get somebody a gift card. Ladies want to take care of their nails. Guys, maybe you're not afraid to get a pedicure. You want your feet to look all right when you walk outside of the pool or, like I said, the beach. At Nail Studio McMurray on Instagram, if you want to check out some of the work they've done. Lily and Lynn, great couple of nail techs, but they're swamped right now, so they're looking to add some people to the staff, too. Nail Studio II, nailstudio2.com. Book online, like I said. Lakeview Square on 19 out in Peters Township next to Juniper Grill. Or just give them a call, 724-941-4595. We appreciate them sponsoring Kabali and Mac as well. So let's address the one, what I think, ridiculous rumor that's floated out there in the last couple of days. And we can shoot this thing down, or you can tell me that maybe there needs to be a little more life breathed into it. Jalen Ramsey wants out of Miami, right? I don't see this being something the Steelers would be especially interested in going out of their way for. Not that you don't like Jalen Ramsey. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, even at this point in his career, solid addition wherever he ends up. But everybody's freaking out about the Ravens adding Jair Alexander the other day. I understand. Alexander's still pretty good. But I don't think when you've already gone out and added Darius Slay and you got Joey Porter Jr. on the other side, we've talked about Beanie Bishop as the nickel possibly. Would it be nice to be able to have Porter, Slay, and Ramsey? Sure, that'd be great, but I don't think this is something you go out of your way if you're Omar Khan to make happen before training camp.
Well, especially what you're going to have to get him via a trade. Man, that salary cap number is hefty, and for a bunch of years. He's signed through 2028. At 17, 25, 26, 36 million cap number.
And how old is he now?
Ooh, 31 maybe?
He'll be 31 in October. So
I'd have to look at the guaranteed. I'd have to look. Although you look at that, he has no guaranteed money past this year, but he sure has a lot of guaranteed money this year. I didn't see how much his his base salary is only 1.25 this year. So maybe that is doable.
I mean, if you can get the Dolphins to eat some of the money, that would be great. But then it goes back to the same thing we've talked about since we were talking about wide receiver trades for the last 2.5 months, which is, that's great and all, but you're going to have to give up considerably more in draft compensation to get them to eat some of that salary.
Here's the thing about this is they have not been hesitant of adding veteran cornerbacks, Peterson. Mm-hmm. Hayden to a degree.
Slay.
Jackson, Slay. And if we talked about the other day, if there was one spot on that defense where you're like, I'm not 100% sure of, I'd have to say.
An injury makes them thin at that position real quick.
Even an injury right now, you got Joey Porter leveling off. Can he take that jump? Maybe, maybe not. You have Slay, who's 34. I mean, that can go real quick, right?
Yeah.
Very quickly, but he could still be good. I mean, behind that, you got Trice, who has all the ability and all the talent in the world, but doesn't have a much time under the in the helmet, right? With the injuries. I guess you can move. I always forget his name. The guy they just signed from the Jets.
Yeah, I forget his name too all the time. I feel terrible.
I forget it. Well, whatever his name is, he can play outside as well. But it's one position where it's a little iffy, right?
Brandon Echols.
He can play outside. He played all outside during mini camp. I don't know if they're going to flip that back in.
Well, but here's the question. Let's go down the path of Jalen Ramsey for just a second. A, does he want to go somewhere where he's going to be the third corner essentially? And B, if you do add him, let's say he does. Let's say he wants, I get to go play for Mike Tomlin, right? Everybody loves the idea of playing for Mike Tomlin. How do you make that work outside of your nickel package? I mean, are you going to wait for Slay to get hurt and then slide Ramsey in? Is Ramsey going to – I mean, there's a lot of moving parts there where, in theory, it sounds great because everybody needs three starting capable corners in this league. I get it. We lost your connection again.
Why does this keep happening?
I don't know. Is your camera thing? There you go.
For some reason, my camera gets muted.
It wasn't. Yeah, I don't know. But my point is, there's a lot of moving parts here. It doesn't seem very realistic to me, the Ramsey thing.
Yeah, I don't think it seems very realistic at all. Just for the fact that, I mean, I hate to say it. I'm almost don't want to say it. I mean, you hear some not so flattering things about Jalen Ramsey, right?
Right.
I like to make my own decisions on that. So, however, if any of it's even potentially true of, you know, being a little bit of a pain in the rear end, then you just voided yourself of all that in your locker room.
Yeah.
But I'd hate to go down that route because I don't know the guy. And like I said, I like to make my own decisions. But if you're looking at the Steelers saying if they come up with anything, does that trump anything? You know, does – okay, we really want him. We can get him a good price. However, I don't know if he'd fit in with our group here.
Yeah, I mean,
so grab him. In the past, they would.
Right.
I don't know.
It feels like they've moved out of that era where they're as willing to overlook some of that stuff, as some of those concerns about players who, like you said, may be a little bit of trouble. Now, people are going to immediately jump up and say, well, they signed Aaron Rodgers. We've been over that ad nauseum where – it's hard to find proof where Aaron Rodgers has been disruptive in locker rooms. Like, you might think Aaron Rodgers is a weirdo. Some people do. I don't think we've gone over this. He's disruptive in locker rooms.
Yeah, but you don't like him for other reasons. I mean, right. You can say, okay, he destroyed the Jets. He came into New York.
The Jets kind of did a fine job of that on their own.
You know what he had to do? He had to find a coach, find an offensive coordinator, basically take over that organization at age, 39, and make it into a winner. He doesn't have to do that here. He can sit and play cards with Cam Hayward and say, have at it, Mike, have at it, Arthur.
But that's part of the attraction, I think, for a veteran like Jalen Ramsey, the same way it was for Darius Slay, in that, hey, I get to go play for a strong organization. I don't have to worry about the head coach. I don't have to worry about the GM or the ownership or anything like that. I go in and I just play ball. And so if you're Jalen Ramsey and you're willing to embrace that concept, then maybe you are less of a headache than people perceive you've been over the last few years. If you go to Pittsburgh and you're playing for a coach that you like, you're in an organization where all that stuff is taken care of, and all you got to do is show up and play ball.
I still think, honestly, if you can get him for a good price, I don't really care if you got Darius Slay, Joey Porter, Corey Trice. If you get him for a good price, you bring him on.
But again, what's a good price
in
regards to the contract and what you got to trade to get him? This is a team that's built up their stockpile of draft picks for next year for a reason, right? And I don't think they want to spend them now in June of 2025.
You get 31-year-old cornerback that has a boatload of money on that contract, it's probably not going to cost you a lot of money. I mean, a lot of draft capital, my fault.
I get you. Unless you're asking Miami to eat some of the money, like we talked about.
I mean, is a fifth-round pick legit? I mean, could that be it? But I would definitely – I don't care who else is there. You just try to surround your team with talented players. If you feel like he's a talented player, you can get him what you need to get him, and it doesn't affect what you have to do with TJ Watt or anybody else, and you do it.
I thought you'd shoot this down. I thought you'd take aim and be like, nah.
No, I mean, I might not enjoy it, but I'm just telling you, as an organization, you can't pass up talent. You just can't.
Fair point. Fair point. We'll see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks. Thanks as well to our friends at Impact HVAC for sponsoring the show. It's going to be steamy this weekend in the greater Allegheny County area. Hazy, hot, and humid. The three H's, like Bob Kuzma used to say when I'd watch the noon news with my grandma after Price is Right. You need the AC taken care of so it's working for a steamy weekend like this and the rest of the summer. 412-297-1852. If something's not working right, they'll tell you. They'll fix it. If everything's good, they'll just tune it up and get you set for the summer. Something needs replaced, they'll do that. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook as well. Get everything taken care of before you're sitting inside with all the windows open, realizing how much you needed that air conditioning this weekend. Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. We appreciate them sponsoring the show as well. Are you ready to dive into the old mailbag, Kaboom?
No.
Why not?
Yeah, people are texting me questions. Like, I mean, that defeats the purpose. You're supposed to do it on air.
Well, I mean, we do you want to address the text questions first?
I'm watching you from my wait.
Who is this, first of all?
Watching on my back pool deck in Orlando. Nice show.
That's awesome.
The great Scott Shaw.
I love it.
He says, I am anxious to learn. Hold on real quick. I'm anxious to learn how the O-line performs.
Okay.
Because you now have a 41-year-old quarterback that changes plans, and who's the truly running back one? So that's more than one question there, Shaw.
Okay. So start O-line. With the first
one. Once again, Orlovsky pooping on that offensive line. I don't think he realizes talent when he sees it. He was poo-pooing it the other day.
Yeah, I don't – man, I don't think anybody outside of Pittsburgh has really paid attention. Although we talked to Ross Tucker last month, and he had some good things to say about some guys on this line.
AQ was all over it.
AQ made some good points about it as well. I don't think anybody, though, outside of a few people, really understands the potential of this offensive line now that Faletanu's healthy, Jones is on the left, and, you know, you've built up the interior of the line the way you have.
Yeah, McCormick and...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think it would. Like we said, there's 100 times it all hinges on Broderick Jones, and the depth isn't probably where you need it at. They do got Calvin Anderson. They do got Spencer Anderson, Ryan McCollum, who played a couple games last year. But you're not going to have starter capable studs as your backup on offensive line. Who does that? Unless you have a young guy. Unless you're the Eagles and just keep replacing center after center or guard after guard. You're not going to have that guy in waiting. So I think if your whole argument is the Steelers offensive line stinks,
it's not going strong
to stink, I think you might be a little bit surprised this year.
Because not
think
a strong argument.
I mean the talent is just there. I mean, and it's not like they didn't play decent last year. I mean, to ask McCormick to do what he did was pretty much fabulous. Frazier, forget about it. Like I said, he's 8, 9, 10-year Pro Bowler to me, 5, 6 All-Pro guy waiting to happen. Sam Malu, still smart as can be. Maybe his knees are bothering him. Maybe his foot's bothering him. Whatever is bothering him all the time. And he makes up for it right here. The guy's smart as a tack.
Sharp as attack is the way it goes.
Hines Ward always used to mess up his
analogy.
He had his hands cut out for him.
What about the second half of Shaw's question about RB1? How long before Caleb Johnson takes over RB1 duties from Jalen Warren?
Maybe the first time Jalen fumbles.
Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about the other day when we were talking about all the weapons on offense. First time Jalen Warren puts the ball on the ground, his butt's going to get stapled to the bench.
It is not like this guy doesn't work on this constantly. You never see him without a ball in his hand, high and tight. A lot of times they fill the ball up with water makes it heavier so you can grab onto it tighter. I mean, he works on it constantly, but sometimes you just bumble in bad situations here. And he once that happened, that's going to open the door for Caleb.
I'd say by Thanksgiving, Caleb Johnson is the clear-cut number one, and Jalen Warren is in more of a number two.
Don't count out Jalen Warren.
I'm not counting him out. I'm just saying.
We were dying for him 2 years ago. Jalen Warren, right? He needs to play. He has his yards per carry. He's better than Najee. Now he's here. It's like, nah, how about Caleb?
We love our backups in this town. I mean.
Unless it's. Third teamers. We'll hire him.
Yeah, seriously. So we answered Chancellor's Jalen Ramsey question already. We don't know if he's coming to Pittsburgh, but Kaboom didn't entirely pour water all over it. So
wasn't he at the airport like 3 weeks ago? Isn't that what the report was? He was in the airport coming here.
I mean, that's the report about everybody constantly.
I saw Omar and I said, hey, should you be up there picking up Ramsey? Who else was at the time? Alexander and Cooper. I said, shouldn't you like send the van up there, pick them all up?
The van, like the white van they bring over from Pirate City to McKechnie Field.
Where do you hear this stuff at?
Like, the guys with jerseys that don't have names on the back. Speaking of the Pirates,
bring him to Malibu.
All right, yeah, in Rogers Malibu. Brian Garrett, number one commenter on the YouTube feed, I think. Wants us to get Dennis Santana in his interpreter on. For those of you that weren't paying attention to the Pirates yesterday, Bucco reliever Dennis Santana took a swing at a fan in the front row behind
the. Like a Pirates fan?
Well, there was a Pirates fan sitting nearby from
somebody
one
had a
angle.
Really bright yellow shirt on. I'm thinking it was the old Bucco shirt.
But Santana apparently said that they went over the line. Something they said. You can't take swings at fans.
You stink. I was thinking last night, who are the more popular, who's the best Santanas you ever saw play? The only one that I can come up with, Rafael Santana from the 85 Mets or the 84 Mets, 86 Mets. Who's another good Santana?
What about the other Santana they had a few years ago? The other Carlos Santana.
What about Carlos Santana, the singer?
No, yes, but you remember Santana had, I mean, they should have kept him around for another year because he had a huge year last year for a guy his age. Remember the walk-off home run where he like danced into home plate? Remember that?
What about Santana Moss? Does he count?
He counts, yes.
Who's the best Santana is the question.
Oh, my God.
But, man, what can get, I mean, you should be very, very used to fans saying stuff. I mean, when I was in my younger days, you go there, you just say some stuff. I mean, there's nothing malicious about it, just having some fun. I remember going to a Florida Marlins game one time, Steelers.
Wait,
Pirates, Florida Marlins. Florida, yeah, they were Florida Marlins at once.
Yes.
And Rob Dibble was playing for him. He was coming to the dugout, and I said, oh, my God, it's Rob Dibble. And he looks at me and I said, I didn't even know you still played. And he gave me a dirty look. You know, it was nothing malicious. It was just trying to be funny. So these guys need to, you know. What did he say to him? What is crossing over the line?
I don't know. Something personal, a slur of some kind. Who knows?
Who would know anything about Dennis Santana personally?
That's why I wonder, like, how ugly it may have been. Like I said, some kind of slur or something like that. But, like. Just
you can't
do that. You can't take a swing at a fan.
This is 2025. Everybody, I don't know why anybody would be videoing it. I guess they must have saw an argument.
That's probably it. Yeah. And everybody videos everything now. So yeah, I don't, that part doesn't surprise me at all. Really, that somebody happened to have their phone out.
Don't you want to talk about Paul Skeens giving up four runs?
Why is that? I mean, how often has he done that?
Well, the one time he had a chance to win, he gave up a bomb. No, I'm not ripping on Skeens.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to go after Skeens after all the games he's lost because he got zero run support?
No,
you're going to tag him?
There's two things that bother me about the Pirates yesterday. First of all, that stupid app that I have to use to get their games. It's awful.
Okay.
Just spinning wheel. I got to pay like $20 a month. It's just awful. And what was the second thing that bothered me about the Penguin Pirates yesterday? The broadcast team. My goodness, if I tuned in during the seventh inning of the game one, you thought that they just absolutely crushed whatever the hell his name is.
Scooble?
Budokan or whatever the hell his name is. What's his
Eric
name?
Eric Scooble.
Scooble. Jesus. You think he was – they absolutely –
guy's the best pitcher
him.
In baseball right now, and you can't remember his name.
Oh, my goodness. He's went into the seventh inning, and he has 100 pitches. I'm like, you got two hits. Shut up. You didn't do anything.
They should let you in the booth for one Pirate game just to see how it goes.
You'd
do a great job. You'd be flawless.
I would be flawless. I wouldn't be like, wow, what a play. That was a couple months ago, maybe a month ago. Padres were getting their butt kicked. And I think it was Brian Reynolds made a throw to second base on a base hit, and the guy got a double, and the announcers went crazy about how great of a throw it was. He was safe. It was a double. Is this what we're talking about right now?
You always got to complain.
I don't know. I guess the brownie fake laugh gets me a little bit time.
Why you got a bag on Brownie? He's a good dude.
The fake laugh.
All right,
so, I'm done ripping on anybody.
Okay, good. Well, for like 30 seconds anyway. Matt wants to know, posting your stories entirely on X, how's it working for you? You think more people are reading now than when you were behind the paywall?
I know how many people were reading behind the paywall. It was the numbers weren't the best in the world when you're – I mean, I did okay at The Athletic, but – there's different ways of being able to count hits and clicks and whatever. But the way we looked at it is you put it up on the X, you're just giving people something for free. And we all know we love something for free.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think people do look at it. I mean, you depends on what the story is and what it is. You can get 50, 60, 70,000 clicks, 100,000, whatever. So it's worked out pretty well. I was surprised nobody else has done that, but there's not a way to really monetize that yet. Hopefully we can come up with something like that.
Monetize your Twitter.
No, monetize the article somehow. You know, put an ad at the bottom. You know, something. I don't know. I'm not the brightest.
You're just the writer.
I just watch games.
You're just the vessel. For the genius that comes through.
I use vessel a lot. Like, you know, if I'm drinking something, I'm like, it's my vessel. It works there, but it seemed to work out. It seems to working out. It's different.
SFI on Twitter wants to know the TJ on your hat now. Does it just stand for Trent Jordan Watt? Is there also a Timothy John McConnell representation aside from Thomas Jefferson High School that we know?
It all what you want it to be. What do you feel like it to be today?
Well, I think Sunday night it should be Timothy John McConnell.
TJ, who's TJ? It says LT. I'm seeing it says LT, so I don't know.
Yeah, because it's reversed on your screen because it's your camera when it stays connected.
The funny thing is people are like, oh, you really? I saw somebody at a store one time. They're like, oh, you're not wearing the TJ hat. What about that? I'm like, I didn't know that I had to wear it like 24/7. Maybe.
Well, you said you were going to wear it until he signs the extension. So when
incognito.
When you take it off, people are going to notice.
I was wearing the Impact HVAC hat. So excuse me.
Good work. SFI.
I can't wear the TJ hat if I go to a kid playing for South Allegheny.
South Allegheny, carpetbagger. SFI also mentioned Asante Samuel Jr., who I mentioned way back at the beginning of free agency and is still somehow unsigned.
Probably a reason for that.
Brian, this is not a surprise. He used to get drunk at the Bullpen Cafe at Three Rivers. You can't do that anymore.
You can do that in right field, right? What's that place called? That bar?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cove or whatever.
The best. Speaking of heckling at ball games, the best heckling. I wasn't there for it personally, but my friends were. The first Barry Bonds game back in Pittsburgh at Three Rivers after he signed
that.
Giant.
I covered that. It was a Friday night.
I don't remember. But my
two bombs, right?
I don't remember what happened in the game. I just know I had a couple friends that went and sat out in left center field, and they said there were two old drunk guys in the front row right above the left field wall who the entire time just yelled, just heckled Barry Bonds by yelling, "Hey, Barry, Sid Bream, Barry. Hey, Barry, Sid Bream." Which
that's a weird flex there, man. The last thing I think about the ninth inning of that game was Barry Bonds. It was a pretty doggone good throw. It was just a little up the line.
How about
Stan Belinda? How about Jose Lean?
Okay, all fair points.
Freaking umpire. How about Francisco Cabrera? There's about a dozen other things I think of over Barry Bonds.
All fair points. If we didn't know that Van Slyke had told Bonds to come in a little bit and Barry gave him the finger, I think we'd all be a little bit more responsive to all the other issues.
I hate Barry Bonds.
I don't hate Barry.
It was a good throw. I think he still might be out.
Yeah.
I think that front foot popped up a little bit. Boom, boom. Frankie put the tag on him. They caught him safe. And it was the worst day of my life of watching sports. And I probably have not cared about watching sports in a fan point of view since.
That is the last time I cried over the end of
you were four
over a sport over or professional sporting. I was not. It's October 92, right? I would have just turned 13. So that was I remember laying on the floor literally in tears because I knew it was over.
Should have brought in Wakefield in that.
They should have.
That's the ultimate. We should come up with a list of all-time Yinzer things that has been said.
Yinzer revisionist history.
Bonds, the Wakefield. You always bring it up. What's another one?
He was a knuckleballer. You couldn't bring him in for an inning after the way he'd pitched that year?
I can't believe it. The Steelers made that video before the Chargers game.
Get
there, right?
Did they actually make it? Do we know that?
In the tire.
Or did they just talk about making it?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but either way, screw the 1994, 1995.
I think if we have high def in 92 replay, they call Barry Bonds out. There's your hot take of the day. I mean, they call Sid Bream out. Bonds nails him.
You really think so?
I'm telling you, that front foot pops up. Somebody has to have my back on this one.
I don't have this one in the chat, but I'll just ask you the question because I see it on Twitter in response to one of our posts. Again, with the Jalen Ramsey stuff. But what kind of trade, Steelers, Pens, Pirates fan 97 wants to know, do you think they'd have to put together to get Jalen Ramsey? You mentioned a fifth-round pick earlier. You love the Twitter handle, don't you?
No, I love a couple of these questions.
It's all about Jalen Ramsey today, man.
They said you were going to answer everything, so you better get
on. I'm trying to get to all the questions.
Not all of them.
Hold on. What, did I miss one? Hold on, I'm scrolling back through. Answer the question about Ramsey and what they need to trade to get him.
I don't think it would be that much. I think it would probably be like a fifth, maybe next year fifth. Once again, if you're going along with it, but there is not a lot of guaranteed money, but there is a card. It's almost a one and done type of year if you're going to sign him. With how the contracts worked out, that I just briefly looked at, so that's how I came up with it real quick. You're not going to get a lot for a one-year guy. So I don't – any of these type of trades is not going to bring back huge returns. It just doesn't happen very much. The only thing that comes back with huge returns in trades or trading like first and second-round picks, you know. I'm talking about in the draft. If you want to move from 4 to 1, you're paying out your arse. Other than that, there's not a lot of trades that the team acquiring a player has to give up a lot for the most part. So I don't think it would be that much.
Makes you wonder. This one from Rob on Twitter. Robbie. I got to be Robbie 15236. So he's from our neck of the woods. Would it be worse to have rain on your wedding day or 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife? An Alanis Morissette fan has jumped.
Is that really ironic? Is that irony?
It's not irony. It's just an unfortunate coincidence.
Okay.
I think we figured out that nothing in that song is actually ironic.
You know, another thing I figured out is what did she see in Dave Coulier? just like saying Dave Coulier.
Cut it out.
She broke Dave Coulier's heart.
No, he broke hers.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. Didn't she write a whole story about it or a whole song?
I think so. Yeah. It was the mess you made when you went away. You ought to know. That's what it was.
Yeah, there was some suggestively lyrics in there.
Nick wants to know the last time, he didn't ask this, but I want to know. He said the last time he cried after a sporting event was the AFC title game, Ben's rookie year when they lost to the Patriots.
I was covered that game. You're crying and I'm covered. I'm in the locker room. I tell you how old I am.
So when's the last time you cried over a sporting event, Kaboom? Never?
Am I going to sit there and cry? Like, I don't think I ever have cried.
Stone cold, emotionless bastard.
Who the hell cries over it? Mate, you know what? You know what I cried over? I do remember.
What?
The year was 1982. And the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Cardinals in the World Series. And my brother was a Brewers fan, and I was a Cardinals fan. I cried.
And you claim I'm the one who's not a real Yinzer. You're a Cardinals fan?
I was a Cardinals fan from like the 80s on.
Ugh.
80 to about 87. Ugh. Then they traded Jack Clark to the Yankees. I pretty much skipped the Yankee year. Then I was a Padres fan.
Oh, the Padres, that's right.
He went to the Padres for a couple years. Then he went to the Red Sox, had a pretty decent season over there.
And that was that.
That's true. I mean, if you do cry, you might be a cake eater.
If you cry over a sports game. Okay. Whatever, Brian. I was 13 years old, and I knew the Pirates' last shot at a World Series had just vaporized with Sid Bream chugging home and sliding across home plate. And no, Justin, I didn't immediately know the name of the Alanis Morissette song. I had to sing through some of the lyrics to remember it.
You.
Some of the other questions that you suggested that people may be able to submit, which means you undoubtedly have answers to them. What is your favorite pizza topping?
Oh, sausage, easily.
Okay. It's got to be the crumbly sausage, though, right?
Those little fake nuggets, they're disgusting.
Yeah.
I'll ask him, what kind of sausage is it? It comes in a bag. Nope, I don't want it. That's just like disgusting. I want a real sausage. So let's ask yours one then. When was the last time you begged somebody for a ticket, free ticket to an event?
Does it count if I ask for tickets from work since I work for a country music station? That doesn't count as begging. It's kind of part of the gig.
I guess that's okay.
Okay, I get a pass for that. I don't randomly.
Oh, come on, Jeremy Piven.
It wasn't random. We had him on the show, for God's sake, and he said he wanted to see us there. Whether it was bullshit or not doesn't matter.
You think if I text Jeremy Piven right now,
he'd answer? No.
To me?
No. We kind of went over that with Matt Light a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I hear he's in he's in the Hayward softball game.
I saw that, yeah. We didn't get the invite.
Actually, Doran said, bring the kid down. He didn't say anything about me.
No.
So I don't know. When is that, the 14th of July?
Don't know the exact date.
Man.
So the last time I begged someone for tickets, I don't beg for tickets, by the way. I just ask. Mm. And if somebody says no, I don't have them. I asked Phil, our buddy Phil, for tickets to the big night out, and he hooked me up. but that's other than that.
He didn't hook everybody up. Right? That's so I hear.
I just asked and he got me.
Did you go over all the questions or is there any other?
I think I've gotten to everything.
you get to everything.
How many games will the Steelers win?
10 and a half.
They can't win half a game.
Yeah, they can.
They can't.
I'm sticking with a good 10 wins right now.
Okay.
10-7. 10-7.
Wild card.
This Ravens team almost reminds me of one of the final Andy Reid teams in Philly. The dream team.
Mm.
Dundee Ashamois. Vince Young.
So you're maybe, saying it's like
4-12 that year. Just because you load up with talent doesn't mean you're going to be a good team, although they're already a good team. Lamar puts you as a good team all the time.
And they've got one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the league. Like,
yeah, I mean, but it doesn't necessarily 100% equate into a division championship. I'm telling you, you just keep adding more talent. Sometimes that does not work.
Write it down. Cavalli has called the Baltimore Ravens a house of cards.
Could be.
Anything else that you wish people would have asked us about that we didn't get to?
I don't know. I didn't even look yet. Let me see here.
Good job by you, staying on top of it. Nope, sit there and scroll.
No, look at it. It says to acquire an offensive playmaker, trade draft picks. But are there any players that you would make sense to trade away in a player-for-player deal? How about that one?
Who would they trade?
Maybe that's why they're holding on to Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll get a huge, massive return in the trade market.
Jonathan Ward's gone, but they keep Cordarrelle Patterson.
I mean we're talking about running back 4 or 5 on the depth chart.
I understand that, but one's making the league minimum, and the other one's making $3 million.
Okay. Does $3 million really matter that much right now?
To me, it would.
Under the cap.
Dude, they freaking cut long snappers before over $200,000. They save every freaking penny they can get. I mean, it's not just the Steelers. If you can get the same type of talent with a little bit less of a payday, they would do it.
Yeah, maybe they actually plan on using them somehow. I don't know how.
Cut it out,
Uncle Joey.
What do you think about this? Did you hear this reporter? I don't know if it's a reporter. It's so hard. You just scroll and scroll.
I know.
And the scroll of death, and you see things, and you're like, oh, did you hear? And like, that's fake. What are you talking about? But they offered tool-time guys, Tim Allen, $1 billion to redo the, what is it?
Really?
Show? I don't know. It could be a lie.
That doesn't sound real.
CBS?
I heard the mom never wanted to work with Tim Allen again. What's her name? Her name on the show was Jill.
Oh, just kill her off.
Kill her off. Jesus, man. What was your favorite sitcom growing up? Last question, and then we'll wrap it up because we're almost at an hour now. Your favorite sitcom growing up?
Oh, man. What do we consider growing up? Into your teens or
sure, like 12? Just your favorite sitcom you remember from as a kid.
See, I obviously Seinfeld, but that might be a little bit not right because there's so much syndication that you might be thinking that you I know I watched the end of it.
Okay, let's take Seinfeld off the table then, okay? Because I think it's widely regarded as the best sitcom of all time.
I have to watch as a sitcom.
Now, I already know mine.
I was a big Wonder Years guy.
Oh, Wonder Years was good.
I always say, who would win in a fight, Jack Arnold or Dan Connor?
Jack Arnold.
Dan knocked out, what's her name's, Roseanne's sister's boyfriend for touching. You remember that?
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So, but Jack Arnold, he was in Career.
That's what I
what
mean.
What do you know about Career? But he called it Career. What do you
Career.
I lost some good guys in Career.
Dan Connor was always on the precipice of having a massive heart attack, though.
Wouldn't you if you had Roseanne as your wife?
I'll tell you, Winnie Cooper alone. As a kid, was reason enough to tune into that show.
You seem like more of a Topanga guy to me.
Topanga, I mean, have you ever heard the rumor? We kept this one up as long as we could, that there was a rumor when I was at Penn State that Topanga was also going to Penn State. And it was completely...
Paul Feig was also Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson, right. And he had a rib removed so he could, you know. but this is the kind of stuff you could get away with like the very beginning of the internet era. Like you could tell somebody, oh yeah, Topanga. Yeah. She goes to school here, man. She lives over in East Halls. I saw her in the dining hall the other day. And people would believe it.
Who would name their kid Topanga? I wonder how many people have named their kids Topanga since the end of since that show aired. I think Topanga is on the top 10 list.
No, it's not on the top 10. But I'd like to know how popular the name is. Like, how many Topangas are out there?
There's a lot of, you know, I come across something the other day. There's a lot of, like, Declans and Calebs and people like that now. It's the top names.
Here we go. In 2024, the name Topanga ranked number 4,271 for girls.
That's not bad.
It's not
popular. Before that, it was probably zero.
Maybe. Anyway. I think we're out of questions.
You could tell that all the people watching us are all old people. Nobody names their kids Brian or Justin or Nick anymore.
You don't think there's any Justins out there anymore?
Josh or
Brian's, Nick's, Josh's.
I think that's old school.
You think
Jordan?
Maybe you're right. What was the one last thing? Matt, Cheers. Cheers is the best sitcom of my youth. And I'm gonna
I don't know. I watched it, but it was must see.
You can go back and watch
Saved by the Bell. How about that? Is that considered a sitcom?
I guess.
It was only like 2 or 3 years.
It wasn't on nearly as long as people think they remember it being on.
I posted this the other day. You remember the old fight between
between Zach and AC?
Zach took a cheap shot cross. Goofy Slater didn't know what to do, so he got him in the belly to belly.
You know, what's his name? What's AC Slater's real name? Mario Lopez, married a Pittsburgh girl.
Really?
Pittsburgh, everywhere, always. Yes.
See, Justin's right there, man. He has never met a young Justin. Justin's name is.
You think it's dead?
No, it's on its way out. There's no Calebs and Connors and.
This is another old man thing to talk about. What are they naming kids these days? But you could turn on any episode of Cheers today, and it's still funny.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Maybe that's true for you.
It is.
I don't know if that holds up as well as you are claiming it holds up.
I mean, it doesn't. Look, again, Seinfeld is at the pinnacle. Cheers, I think, though, is a close second.
No, I was watching the other day. It somehow pops up on my Fire TV, whatever. It's All in the Family. Oh, my God. It's freaking hilarious.
What a classic.
I mean, I just went through until I found out when Meathead sat in Archie's chair and broke Archie's chair. I just keep watching. It's like it's a 10-minute clip. You could probably find it on the internet. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Archie's like, I need to break something. I need to break something.
Like, stifle it. Would you eat it? Oh, Archie. All right. One last question. Brian Garrett, commenting superstar, wants to know if you're going to the TNA show at Robert Morris.
Man, no. I went to that. Did I go to the TNA show? I went to one couple. What's the one with Marvez in the backstage? Know. Is that AEW? Is that TNA?
You're asking the wrong guy.
I went to it, and the guy behind me just kept saying, grab him in the dick or something. And it was just driving me insane. I'm like, you said it 100 times. Shut the hell up. So I know Madden's going to be doing it, which is interesting. I think, but I think Raw's coming at the end of the month, a double show.
It's a double show, yeah. Which is extremely difficult to get tickets to, I've been told. No, really? I haven't begged anybody yet. I texted LeBar the other day.
Oh, so you're asking again?
No, well, not for me. For a friend. For a friend.
Okay. Is his name Mac?
No. Chris
Sorley? Is that
for a friend that was looking for...
Chris Sorley was looking to have a ticket.
For a friend that was looking for tickets, and LeBar basically told me no. I don't know anybody that's looking to sell their tickets because they're so hard to come by. Because, look, it's the first TV show in Pittsburgh in how long, and it's the double show before the 4th of July weekend. So you'll get Raw and SmackDown.
You'll get SmackDown then Raw, but...
Is that how they're doing it? You can't do it out of order, can you?
Yeah, they have to do it that way. It'll start at 5:30-ish, I think. They'll just tape, like, whatever matches there are, 3 or 4 matches, and do everything else in post-production. Man. like the backstage stuff and commentary and all that stuff. Then they'll go straight to live, 2.5 hours of Raw, and then they'll have the week off. You guess what I got yesterday?
What?
I got moved to this second or third part of the banana ball list of getting tickets.
Ooh, working your way up, buddy. When's that?
Monday at 11:30, they'll send an email to see if I can really get the tickets or not.
It's That's
like,
a hell of
if you go to a lottery, to the lottery, you have to enter to be picked to a lottery, to be picked to a lottery just to be able to potentially buy tickets. How about that?
It's a hot ticket. Good luck getting that one.
That, you can buy like up to 5. I'll be selling those suckers on the black market.
Let me know how that goes. Speaking of Monday, since you mentioned it, great segue, inadvertent segue by you. We will have another mystery guest Monday. Is that right? Is it Monday? Oh, no, it's Thursday next week. We have a big guest showing up.
Yeah.
Maybe another one on Monday. I'll check in on that again over the week.
I doubt that's going to happen.
We'll see. But what can happen is that you could win a Paul Skeens autographed baseball from First and Goal Collectibles. Become a subscriber on YouTube if you haven't yet. First 2,500, once we get to that number, we'll all be in the running for that autographed Paul Skeens baseball from First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village Mall. firstandgoalsports.com. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Ollie Inns for joining us. Enjoy your weekends. We'll be back to do it again on Monday. Who knows what the hell we'll be talking about? Maybe Jalen Ramsey some more. Maybe banana ball. I have no idea. NBA Finals will wrap up.
What time are we doing Monday? Because my banana ball tickets is going to come at 11:30.
We'll make sure you're done by 11:30, okay?
I got to get online, and it's first come, first serve at that 11:30 slot.
Follow us on X, on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, at Kabali and Mac. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for joining us.